it's a sign that they're about ready to go in China. Look, Elders had already have a supply chain with them as well, and they were looking for, as most of the Chinese do, looking for a couple of suppliers, not just one. They're not going to rely just on one supplier. So we've been speaking to them now for probably 4 months, and I believe that Elders are putting a shipment together, a sea shipment together, probably early in the new year, and then they'll be looking to come to us a bit later, maybe load mid-March, to be up there by the end of March.
So when that first Wellard shipment does happen, what sort of numbers are you talking?
3,000 headed, about 520 kilos.
So compared to the number of cattle that are being shipped live into China at the moment, that's a considerable increase.
It'll be the second sea shipment. They've only done three air freights up to now. The Elders, I believe, will do the first one early in the new year, and this possibly will be the second one. I think the number that you're looking for is that maybe they'll do 150,000 into China next year. Just looking at where the facilities are and who's doing what and where they are with regards to their progress, to maybe double in 2018. So I would think that it'll follow very closely the way the Vietnam model played out.
So why, I mean, obviously I'm assuming you can only speak on behalf of Wellard, not Elders as well, but why go down this route to live export into China?
The Chinese are going to have an extraordinary effect on the live market. We all know that a lot of the Mekong live cattle end up in China anyway. They buy a lot of cattle that come over that border. So as soon as the price comes to a point where it makes some sense to them, they will be a reasonably large player in the live export market, and it's somewhere that Wellard's basically needs to be. It's going to have a significant effect on the live export trade.
So how significant could it be? I mean, do you have some target numbers for that first year?
It's going to be slow while the price is where it is at the moment out of Australia. The guys there are probably four or five importers in China who have spent considerable amounts of money in infrastructure, but have slowed their projects down given the farm gate price in Australia. But as soon as they see some movement on the downside of that, then they will start to speed up their projects and start looking for some import permits.
But if the price of cattle overall drops, I mean, does that also make the viability for exporters such as Wellard's reduce as well? Because, I mean, the costs are quite significant to export into China when you look at quarantine, for example, at, you know, over $150 a head.
Yeah, look, they get a lot of value out of the fresh offal up there. So they can afford to cover the additional costs with fresh meat. They just can't do it at, you know, we're paying $3.20 farm gate for cattle at the moment. They just can't do it at that. They could probably do it at $2.50 or $2.80, but they certainly can't do it at $3.20. So as soon as that price comes down, they're going to get all the benefits of selling a fresh product in China.
So when these shipments do start, as you mentioned, it's still probably around 3 months away for Wellards. Where are you expecting to get these cattle, to source these cattle from?
For that time of the year, the cattle are going to have to come out of the south of Australia, below the Blue Tongue Line. So most probably either out of Adelaide or Portland.
And later in the year, I mean, will we see the usual suspects, I suppose, for want of a better phrase, from the north and of WA and into the Northern Territory head into that Chinese market, or are there too many restrictions there?
They're going to be reasonably strict on their Blue Tongue restrictions to start with. There is the availability for cattle to go into the north of China, into the cold end of China, in their winter, which is our summer, which means you can take cattle from a Blue Tongue area for slaughter out of the north of Australia up to China. But what happens then is that it's 40 degrees in Australia in December, and it's probably at the moment it's minus 16 or something in parts of China where they've been importing cattle. So you won't be taking the northern cattle up there. I think to start, the primary sourcing will be out of the southern Australia, so out of Fremantle, Adelaide, Portland, Geelong, and maybe maybe eventually out of New South Wales when they get their infrastructure together.
Now, as we know, Scott, Wellard's entered into a joint venture with a Chinese-based or Chinese-owned partner in Falida. Where's that project to construct feedlots and abattoirs? Where's the progress at for that?
So we're at the same position as the rest of the of the importers into China. We're waiting for the price to come back for us we're waiting for the price to come back significantly for us to continue to spend the money on the infrastructure. So we're at a go slow at the moment. We're just going very slowly, putting some stuff together. We've got the land on hand. But we expect to be ready to go probably in 2018 when we see some, you know, some definite price come back in Australia when the herd comes back to a reasonable size again.
So from here, you've received that first SCAS approval for China. What happens from here? Any more hoops to jump through?
No, basically then it's just a negotiation with the customer and then the sourcing. We have another client who is reasonably close to having his facilities finished, and I think he'll be looking to be audited sometime in late January. So there'll be another client ready to go. They're talking about mid-April, late May. They're thinking about going. So, you know, it's just a matter of finding the guys who have spent the money and who are ready to go and who think that they can see some value out of the live cattle.
What's the demand for Australian cattle like in China, Scott, given that until now there's really only been around 300 head per year going to that market?
Look, there's a significant domestic herd up there, but it's very difficult to get the numbers together. They're spread over the majority of China. There's a big variance in price between the north and the south and from the east. So to be able, it's the same as the Vietnamese. So the Vietnamese went to Australia when they found that they couldn't supply significant numbers of cattle for their kill, and it's the same in China. You know, it's very difficult to get large numbers now to consistently kill 200 or 300 a night is just about impossible. So what that allows them to do is to come to Australia, get their 3,000 or 4,000 in a boatload, and then have a consistent kill. And that's really what it comes down to, is that there's a consistency of supply, very similar to what happened in Vietnam.
What's the risks going into this market? Obviously, by the sounds of things, there will be a shipment that precedes the Wellards shipment. But what are the risks? Essentially, this is an untested market.
Look, the guys the CIQ are very strict, and you have to follow the rules. The people who are importing have spent significant amounts of money in China. They're not fly by night traders. And when you spend that sort of money, you need to make sure that you're doing it properly your end as well. So I actually think, and SCAS, CIQ will be on top of the guys up there for SCAS, because all the cattle have to be killed through the one facility that is designated by CIQ. So from an SCAS point of view, it's very easy to control. There's only one facility that you have to keep control of. CIQ will also have their eye on the cattle, so there won't be any leakage from the system. Once we get through the first couple, I think it's like all the rest of our markets. It'll just come down to a commercial operation.